Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Indeed, I'm happy to be here. My name is Kel George. I am the evangelist for the Church of Christ in Salisbury, Dominica. We are situated on the west coast of the island. It's a very mountainous island, and it's a very lovely island too. We have a population of about 65,000. We used to be up to about 70, 71,000, but due to the fact of a lot of migration, we are now up to about, we are now down actually to about 65,000. Our country indeed is, as I said, a wonderful country. It's very, very mountainous. Lots of rivers. We consider ourselves the Niche Island of the Caribbean, the Niche Island of Dominica, the Niche Island of the Caribbean. We have approximately 365 rivers back there in Dominica. We are about 32 miles long and about 19 miles wide. It's, as I said, it's a lovely country. The capital of Dominica is Roseau. It's a very small capital, lots of lovely building in that area too as well. The Churches of Christ in Dominica, actually, we started back there in way back in the 60s, but I believe that the group actually visited Dominica back in 1984, thereabout. That's when the first missionary trip actually visited. That's from Lake City, and also I believe Midway actually came about in Dominica just about maybe what, 10 years ago, thereabout. The Church of Christ, as I said, in Salisbury, actually the mission group started working for us back there about 10 years ago in our lovely country called Dominica. And the next slide I'm about to show you, that's our beautiful capital. That photo was actually taken in an area which is called Mon Bruce. That actually is looking at the beautiful city of Roseau. And the cruise ship port is actually situated in that area too as well. And lots of activity takes place in that area. The government buildings are situated in that area. Our main stadium is also situated in that particular area. We have the area that you're seeing that is actually green. It's called the Botanical Gardens. That's where a lot of tourists actually visit. You will find a lot of different activities taking place there during the time of the cruise ship visits. A lot of people actually visit that area. It's cool and quiet, and so we have a lot of people visiting actually that particular area. I'm sure that you're familiar with these two men. That's when they visited our country. That's Brother Russell, along with Brother Jackie. So that's, this tree actually is a tree that a lot of people actually climb. There's some swings that are naturally made from the tree that you can actually use the roots of the tree to actually use as your swing. So these two guys, when they actually, these two gentlemen, when they actually visit, lovely brothers, when they actually visit our country, we took them to that particular area. It is.
Tell them the name of the tree.
I don't really remember the name. Pasca. Yeah, that's the English name. Yeah, Pasca. Yeah, that's the English name for the tree. But the Rastafarian actually used that tree. The Creole name that we actually we speak sort of like broken French. The Creole name is, we actually call it the swing tree. All right, so many times we call it the swing tree because a lot of people actually go towards that tree and actually use it as a swing because of the roots of that tree. Yes, it actually looks like the Rastafarian looks. This is Dominica. As I said, we actually live on the west coast of the island. This is actually Dominica. Now, this arrow points to a wonderful community, which is also known as Grand Bay. Many years ago, the Church of Christ in Lake City actually assisted that area. Brother Russell did a lot of work in that particular area, as long as Brother Jackie actually visit that area. That's Granby. That's the main street in Granby. That street has all the activities that take place in the community of Granby, one of the main areas of Granby. Now, this building right there is the building that home the former Prime Minister of Dominica back in 2006, thereabout. His name is Prime Minister Pierre Charles, he passed on. These are some of the streets in Granby. And this building is actually the building that hosts the Church of Christ in Granby. So it actually belongs to the church. They actually own that building. And so Brother Esau Liblai is the evangelist there. That's the building out there in Granby. Now, this area is in the area of which I live. Now, Hilton is building a hotel just maybe about 5 minutes away from where I actually live. So they're building it facing the Caribbean Sea. It's almost complete. It's almost finished. It's a lovely facility. Most of the housing actually are facing the ocean. And if you're in one of those buildings, you'll actually be like over the water back there in Salisbury. That's actually where I live. And so the Hilton group is actually building a lovely facility, a lovely hotel back there in that particular area. Now, this is actually the school. That's before it was actually damaged by Hurricane Maria. That's the school during the vacation by the school when we had Brother Jackie and Brother Russell visit us during the vacation by the school. And so that's yours truly, Brother Kale George, having a little fun with the guys. We normally do that. Sometimes we head towards the school, the playing field that is not too far from the school. We actually have various sports there. And this is our vacation by the school. So vacation by the school time, what we normally do is during the visit of the group, we use the first week to actually visit the homes to let the students know, let the children know that we are going to have vacation Bible school. And then they come along and have vacation Bible school with us. Sometimes the numbers can go up to maybe about 20 or maybe even sometimes more. It depends to what the children do during that specific time of the year. Well, normally it's summertime, but sometimes they normally visit their different families. So we will finally get our numbers up, or sometimes our numbers might be a little bit down. The next slide that I'm about to show you, this is my home where I live at present. It doesn't belong to me, but that's where I am renting. That's my home. This vehicle, thanks be to many of you who assisted me here in Midway to achieve this vehicle. It's a Subaru Forester 2006. Now, if you notice, the photo above represents the hill. So as I said, it's very mountainous. So you walk down the hill towards my home, and then you can easily exercise back up the hill. So it is kind of like slope. If you notice the building that's right next to it, it has you can actually see it's built on pillars. So that actually gives you an indication of the slope that goes down to my home and walk right back up. So when you walk down, you meet my home right there, and then you walk back up this hill. You can actually, as I said, do some exercise in that area. My wife normally do that. And the next photo actually gives us an indication of what our vacation.
Trying.
Yeah. My assistant is actually trying, so let's, yeah. So actually, it actually shows us in the next photo part of our, I think the next photo is supposed to be our vacation Bible school photo. And so we'll get to this photo as soon as.
The photo didn't come out very clear, very dark.
All right, so my apologies for that. So it actually shows, in that photo, the Vacation Bible School group, actually we working with them during that time. There you go. That's the photo right there. So that's my wife. That's us. That's actually at my home. That's after Hurricane Maria when they actually visited us. That's actually at my home where we do vocation Bible school. That's on the inside. You can see we were doing some painting there. Sister Haley, Brother Jackie, Sister Donna was actually part of the group 2 years as well. And Brother Russell was actually there, I think, as well. So we are, these children come right nearby, came right nearby, and we're actually doing some printing with them, the t-shirts and things like that. That's basically what we're actually doing with them. Well, I know all of them by name. They are very lovely children, and we are actually getting along doing some painting there. So during the vacation Bible school, that's what we normally do. We normally sing with them, and we normally do arts and crafts with them, and various Bible stories that we normally do with them. And they always remember, these kids always remember them. If you go back home now with a group, they'll always remember these individuals actually doing vocation Bible school with them. And so that's actually what we do. This photo, as I said, was actually at my home because the school was destroyed and we were doing vocation Bible school back home. That's the lovely group that we had during that specific time. The next slide actually is going to give you a view of the future plans of what we are planning to do in the area which is actually close to where I live. Now, I'm going to give you a right. You have Coulibby Street, Salisbury, Mero, and St. Joseph. These areas are the areas in which we are planning to actually do some evangelism work in these areas. We are doing them at present, but in the groups we will do a little bit more. The people are very receptive to the work. They won't turn on you, they won't run you, they won't tell you anything out of the way. They will be willing to accept you with open arms to actually study the Word of God with them. And so Coulibby Street is up north, heading towards Portsmouth. Then you have Salisbury, which is actually where we live. Mero is one of the key areas. It's a lovely area. It's an area that we actually want to move into. We have located a lovely facility there. It's actually on the main road that leads to Portsmouth and also leads to the capital, which is Roseau. That beach was created after Hurricane Maria. That's in Coulibby Street. So that lovely beach that you're actually seeing there was actually created after Hurricane Maria due to the fact of the river overflowing its bank. And the waves actually came all the way up towards that particular area, and it created that lovely beach. It is still there. It's still being utilized by many of the people in that community, and also visitors actually visit that area to have fun there in Coulibby Street. The next photo, I wonder who this guy is. Anybody? That's yours truly. That's our street meetings that we normally do. When we have groups, and even we go out there and invite the community to come along, and they sit on the roadside, they sit in their homes, and they listen to us as we do street meetings. We call them open airs. That's basically how we call them back home, but here you call them street meetings. So that street meeting actually is taking place in Coulibby Street. That's St. Joseph. That is the St. Joseph Catholic Church. The community of St. Joseph. Yeah, we have a large population of Catholics in our country. And so that is the St. Joseph Catholic Church there. That community as well. Many years ago, we did vacation Bible school in that community. There's a wonderful school in that community. And we did vacation Bible school there. We also have gospel meetings in that particular area as well. And the next slide that we're about to show you, this is Mero. So as you can clearly see, that's the main road in Mero. Our streets are pretty small compared to your streets back here. We only have two lanes. So that's Mero, and that's how beautiful the community is. We have a lovely beach in Mero, and the buildings, the area in Mero, it's a wonderful area, that particular community. We are looking forward in doing a lot of evangelism work in that particular area to invite people to see how many individuals that we can at least bring closer to the Lord and get them to the Lord. Now, this is the facility in which we are looking forward in having as a building that we can actually worship in that particular area known as Mero. If you notice in one of the photos, the one to the bottom, you can actually see how pretty close the road is to that facility. And so there is lovely parking space. It's a wonderful building. We have communicated with the owners of that building so that we can actually rent that building in that area. It's $1,000 per month. That's what the owner is actually asking for that facility. And we are looking forward, we hope, to have the facility so that we can actually worship there. That's on the inside. That's when Brother Russell and Brother Jackie visited us, and the Sister Haley and Sister Donna actually visited us in that area. And that's one of our song leader back there in Salisbury. Brother Robert George is actually our song leader there. And as you can see, the inside is pretty comfortable. It's not hot. And that's us worshiping there, and we were doing vacation, well, actually Bible class, and then that's us there during our worship service. And that Sunday, Brother Russell did the preaching.
Sorry, I jumped too quick.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Brother Russell actually did that lesson for us that actually Sunday back there in Mero. Now, our next slide that we actually go to see, this is the monster. This is what many of us do not want to remember, and my wife don't like to remember it at all. That's Hurricane Maria. That's what devastated Dominica back in September 18, 2017. That's when Hurricane Maria struck us back there in Dominica, caused real chaos, devastation to every home, every family. Was actually devastated by this monster hurricane, Category 5 hurricane, actually defeated and destroyed our lovely country known as Dominica.
So, Kel, just for their reference, Hurricane Maria, as you can see, was one of those Category 5 hurricanes. It went right over the island. So what happened is, remember, this is a very mountainous country. So when it passed over, it got one side of the country.
Right.
When it passed by it, it got the other side of the country. It defoliated every single plant.
Right. Every single plant on the island.
So that's how bad it was.
That's how bad it was, yes. Just 1 second, Brother Jackie. I've got a question on the back here.
Where is the island according to that eye?
According to the eye of the hurricane, the eye of the hurricane is actually over the island at present. Yeah, according
and
to the photo.
Here, yeah. So it's southern.
Yeah, it's just southern. Yeah, the eye is actually just above Dominica at that time. Yeah. And it was really, 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 as I said, a devastating time. And if you notice, the back of the hurricane is actually going to give us another. Now, this is some of the devastation it caused, and that is in Coolibee Street. The river's actually overflowed its banks. I mean, humongous. And it actually really, really, really devastated the village of Coolibee Street. That is part of what it did to Coolibee Street. Yes, Brother Jackie?
And there were no boulders in Coolibee Street.
Yes, yeah.
They all came down the mountain.
They all came down.
They completely covered the city.
Yeah. So they all came down from the mountain and actually just covered the entire community. Lives were lost in that community. And people actually had to climb the roofs to actually seek safety in that community. Really devastated. And thanks be to God, relief came afterwards from Lake City, and I'm sure Midway did its part as well. We got relief from many of you who sent barrels, and then the container of goods came towards us to actually assist us, and we as Christians, we actually assisted non-Christians as well during that devastated time, during that time. So when the relief came, we actually did all that we could to assist those that really needed assistance. And I can tell you, it was a heartbreaking time. Every individual needed help at that time. Every individual needed help, water, food, clothing. Every single individual needed help during that time. As I said, my wife did not really like to remember it. It really was a devastated time for us as a family. Yes, Brother Jack.
You tell them the story about the man that y'all gave the relief to, the cook.
Yes, I was just yes. Yeah, so there was a man in that community. He actually passed away I think a year after Hurricane Maria. Now, during the relief effort, we gave him relief, and he used what we gave him to feed approximately about 17 individuals in the community. So what we gave him, he actually took it. He was actually a cook, so he actually took what we gave him and helped individuals in the community to survive and to actually have something to eat during that time. He was a wonderful individual. It's just a pity that he did not obey the gospel before he moved on. But he actually took what we gave him and fed those right in his area, right in the community of Kulilishtri there. And some of the others actually really appreciate that. From Eddie was his name. And he actually helped the individuals when we gave him relief supplies during that time. So he took the relief supplies and actually fed those that he could actually feed during that time.
Can you kind of talk about what the church is allowed to do so far as like with the schools, coming into the schools?
Oh, sure, yes. What we actually are fortunate enough to be able to do in Dominica, in the schools, we can actually assist the schools. So back in Salisbury, the congregation in which I worship in, every year we actually give the school a token during the graduation ceremony. And so we would, during the graduation ceremony, we would actually give the school a gift during that actual time of graduation. Now the beautiful thing about this is we as a church, yours truly, Brother Kale, just as an evangelist, I'm able to visit the school during the opening of the school, to do the opening prayer for the school. I'm actually able to visit the school to do if the school has any difficulty with any student or any classroom. I'm able, or the principal would call on me, and I'm able to go in there and speak to the students, pray with the students, and talk to the students. My wife can actually do the same as well. So we can normally do that. So we have a real good relationship with the schools in that community, not just in Salisbury, but we are able to do that in Kulilishtri, and as well we are able to do that in St. Joseph. But because I am stationed in Salisbury, then I get that opportunity to visit the school anytime. I can visit the school and speak to any child, any teacher, any individual in that school who needs the assistance of prayers, who needs the assistance of getting to know about the Lord. We are able to visit the school and do that at any time. And that's the beautiful thing about it. So we are not basically shown away. We are welcome to come into the school at any time to speak to any student in the school. And that gives us a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to speak to the students and also speak to the teachers back there in the school.
So on average, the average person in Dominica, how many people have a car to be able to?
At average in Dominica, how many? Maybe one individual per family, maybe. It all depends to the individual's work. Some people work in the north, some people work in the south, but the majority of people in Dominica travel by bus. So maybe you might find one or two individuals who have their personal vehicle, but many of the workers travel by bus to and through their homes. So yes, there may be some vehicles, as I said, one per family, but many of our working population travel by bus to ensure that they get to work. Yes, one thing I forget to say during, if you have any question, feel free, just show your hands and I'll be willing to answer your question. Is that all the slides that we have?
Yes, we didn't think we would go to business school.
Wow. Yeah, so I didn't think I was going to
be... pictures, we just didn't put them up there.
Yeah, so I really thought that we had more photos than that. So if you have any question, as I said, feel free. On the photos that you saw, any question about our work in Dominica, feel free to ask the question. As I said, I'll be delighted to answer your question. Yes.
How is it now after the hurricane?
And gradually, we are beginning to get back to our feet again. Mind you, though, that there are still some buildings, some homes that are still uncovered. But the majority of individuals in Dominica are beginning to get back on their feet again. The country's all green again. Yes, it's all green again. The mountains are all green and lovely again, luscious green plants and everything. It's back to its green, natural. But because of what the hurricane did, it actually had a toll on many individuals, so we are gradually beginning to get back on our feet again. Yes?
A question that most probably know, but I don't know the answer to, and Eric and I know. How is it that you started the relationship, or maybe not you, but whoever started the relationship with the church in Dominica with Midway and League City, how did that transpire?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, Brother Russell used to be in Grand Bay, working in the congregation in Grand Bay, and Brother Ralph actually visited Saul's Bishop of Christ. Mind you, though, yours truly, Brother Kel George, I used to worship in the village up north. I was working with one of the congregations up north, which is known as Vacas, and gradually Brother Ralph came to Dominica, and Salisbury needed an evangelist at that time. And so I was actually asked to be the evangelist from League City to be in Salisbury during that time. And that was when Brother Ralph was there with a group, I believe. And so that's how the relationship actually began with Brother Russell being part of the Midway Church of Christ. And then it just all came together during that time. I think it was back there in 2013, somewhere around there. That's, or maybe even longer than that. I'm pretty sure maybe even longer than that, which actually started.
I was going to say, when we have a hurricane, we can evacuate, but y'all pretty much had to stay there and ride it out.
The only evacuation that we have is head to the basement or just pray God that everything works fine.
That's got to be pretty scary.
Really scary. That's the only evacuation that we have.
Tell me about the story about y'all going to try to get to Wendy's.
Sure, I will certainly do that. Now, after the hurricane, it took us about 6 hours, maybe 6-7 hours, to actually leave my home to visit my wife's parents. Now, during that time, it was really rough. We had to go through mudslides, boulders, trees on the road, roofs of houses, vehicles, everything to actually try within our best to visit my wife's family. And something that would maybe take us a couple hours, maybe about an hour and a half, maybe roughly an hour, took us approximately 6 hours after Hurricane Maria. So we left our home in the morning, went through Mero. Mero was actually cut off, and the river actually cut off all the bridges, so we had to go down to the river, go through the mudslides, and by the way, going down into that river, it was really tough because the river is still strong, so there was ropes that we had to hold on to actually try to cross to go over, and to actually go towards the other side of the community. And so we had to go through, as I said, lots of rocks, lots of trees, homes devastated on every side. And at that time, going up towards my wife's family, they live on the northeast of Dominica. So that area is it's a distance away, I must say. And so that was a really rough time for us actually trying to get towards my wife's home. And when we got there, the most that we could do is just hug everyone, say hello, and by then, not much time, we just had to immediately try to head back home. As long as we knew that they were safe. But their homes were actually destroyed, but we knew that they were actually safe, so we just had to just spend just 5 minutes, the most, and head back to our home, right after Hurricane Maria.
But most of the homes in Dominica are made of concrete.
Yeah, most of the homes are concrete, but during Hurricane Maria, well, concrete really got a real tough time handling Hurricane Maria, because most of the concrete houses were actually destroyed. As well, the roof of those concrete houses was actually destroyed.
I think you told me there were like 10 congregations of the Lord's Church on the entire island.
Yes, there is, yes.
And maybe up to 400 Christians.
Yes, so we have, approximately 10 congregations on the island, and our membership is up to maybe about 400 there, yes, from all the 10 congregations. Not one building, not one congregation, but all the 10 congregations combined together, our Christian population is about 400 there, yes.
Once you, you were talking about them being receptive to your teaching and things that, once someone's obeys the gospel, are they, over the years, are they staying faithful and consistent in working with the church after obeying the gospel?
Yes, normally that's what happens. Right after they become members of the Lord's Church, yes, they remain faithful. We continue to teach them of how to remain faithful, so that as we teach them, we are able as well to have them be part of going out there to do evangelism work. So many of them remain faithful right after their conversion. It will take some years, maybe after, you'll find some of them actually fall away. But they remain faithful, yes, during that time. Anybody else? Yes?
What does the leadership in the congregations look like? How many of you men are leading, elders, deacons, all those kinds of things?
That's a very good question. Back in Dominica, we have no elders. In any of our congregations, we have no elders. The preachers actually are the ones, my wife smiled from the time my wife always smiled. The preachers are actually the ones doing the majority of the work back in Dominica. In the congregation in which I am, I'm the one sometimes on Sunday morning have to do the Lord's Supper, the singing, the preaching, the Bible class, the prayers, the closing prayer, the end, just daily. So we are able to do all that. I'm the one that is called to speak to the families if anyone is going through a difficult period of time. Not just the members of the church, but any family that is going through any difficult period of time. I'm actually the one being called to actually go out there and speak to them. Together with my wife, we go out there and speak to any family that needs the assistance, that needs to be encouraged, that needs some word. To be able to be motivated, we normally do that. So we don't have any evangelists. We do have men in the congregations that are willing to assist us from time to time to do song service or to do the Lord's Supper, in which we normally do. But we don't have any elders at present in any one of our congregations.
Do any of the congregations have men who are qualified to
be elders? At present, just one, I believe, which is the Massa congregation. It's one of the biggest congregations. Yes, they do have men that are qualified, and I believe that they are actually graduate teaching classes to go that direction, which is the Massa congregation. Roseau at one time used to be, which is the capital, used to be heading towards that area, but due to the fact of the devastation of Hurricane Maria, the building, that building was one of the most loveliest buildings. And the river actually just washed that building away. And not a scrap of that building was found. So it was actually washed away. And the congregation is gradually worshiping, yes, still, but building up so that they can actually head back towards that direction.
You talked about being able to go into the schools and things like that. Do y'all have to deal with any restrictions from the government or things that keep you from doing certain things, or are you pretty free to do whatever you need to do to try and spread the word?
That's a very good question. No, we don't have any restriction. Actually, what the government is actually trying to do is to encourage us to go into the schools and to teach the children, to try to encourage them to remain children of God and try to actually do that. No, we don't have any restrictions at all from any one of the schools or any community to actually do that. We go in there anytime we are called on, and sometimes we are not called on, we just walk in there, and then with open arms, they will ask us what we would like to do. Are we able to do something? Sometimes I might just be walking and the principal might see me and say, why don't you come around and speak to the school or something? So we have no restriction from the government. Right, Jack?
No.
No. Yes.
Is the government, it sounds like they're very pro-Christian. Are they Christian-based? Is the government, does it have an official stance on that?
Well, normally I normally say, I don't want to put Christians in a category which combines every, whether you're Baptist, whether you're Catholic. So normally, well, yes, they're Christian-based, because many of the parliamentarians are Roman Catholics. So you find them with that kind of relationship of open arms towards the Word of God. And they have no problem with anybody doing ministry work or ministry work. They have no problem with anyone doing that. Anybody have any question?
Tell us a little bit about your wife and what she does.
Oh, sure. My wife, actually, we got married. We got married in the year 2007. She became a Christian some years before that. And at present, my wife is a school teacher. She teaches in one of the schools up north, close to Ross University area, which is called Roosevelt Douglas Primary School. She teaches the infant in that school. At church, she assists me greatly with every single thing of the church. She's the one that puts the Lord's Supper things together. She's the one that puts the song books together. She assists me greatly. She's actually one of the leading ladies of the ladies' workshop. So she's one of the leading sisters of the ladies' workshop. So she puts the ladies together to ensure that they have a successful ladies' workshop, which takes place once a year. And it takes during Easter Monday. So every Easter Monday, the ladies have a ladies' workshop. So she's the one actually assisting the ladies to come together to actually do that. And so that's basically what she is doing. And beside, a lovely wife, right by my side. Yes.
Were y'all affected by COVID and all?
I think we all were. Yes, we were actually affected by COVID pretty badly. Yeah. Our cases started low, as everybody else, and just eventually became overbearing. We had a lot of cases of COVID. And our country, during the time of COVID, when the rise of COVID was really high, we had to shut down the entire country. Yeah, the entire country was shut down during COVID. It was actually high. Numbers was about 3,000 to 4,000, thereabout. Yes, and so we had to shut down the entire country. No school, no work. Everyone had to stay at their homes until the cases actually dropped. And so gradually the cases dropped, and then we went back to work, and then the cases started to rise again. And the government says, let's shut down again. So yes, we all was affected by hurricane, by COVID. Yeah, we all were affected by COVID.
How long does it take to travel from one end of the country to the other? It says 32 miles long.
Because of the mountainous ridge of the country, From Rosa to Portsmouth would take you about 45 minutes, most. Yes. That would just be about 45 minutes from Rosa to Portsmouth. But the entire country would take you about roughly a day. Yeah, because of the terrain of the country, it would roughly take you about a day to actually go from one to actually go through the entire country. Basically, take you an entire day.
So I was thinking 10 churches in that small of area sounds like a lot, but it's because of the terrain is so difficult to travel.
Yes, because of the terrain is so difficult to travel, yes. So that's why we have so many congregations in different parts of North America. Yes, sir.
The ladies' workshop, is that just the congregation where y'all are, or do the other congregations come in on it?
Yes, the ladies' workshop is actually the entire congregations of Dominica. So all the congregations of Dominica, all the ladies in each of the congregations of Dominica come together on Easter Monday to have that ladies' workshop. So it's not just all the Church of Christ, it's all the ladies throughout Dominica actually coming together to have that ladies' workshop. And my wife, as I said, normally during that time, she's actually called on to do the song service. She'll actually be called to preach, or she'll actually have to be called to be the announcer during that time. So she has to always be prepared. She can never go to the ladies' workshop without being prepared. And sometimes when she gets there, if the speaker is not there, then she has no choice.
Gospel meetings, all of the congregations support.
Yes, that's very true. Yes, when we have gospel meetings, all of the congregations normally come to assist us with our gospel meeting, so our numbers can be up. Yes, all the congregations from north, from south, yes, will actually come to visit us.
When someone is converted, do their family members object and give them a bad time?
No, you don't find that.
Okay, good.
The families will not object, because many of the families will just say, okay, well, that's a great life if you want to leave, so then go right ahead. You'll find sometimes it all depends to what religion they may come from. If it's a Muslim, then you're going to get a little bit trouble. But the Roman Catholics, to them, it's all fine. Yes. Final question, I realize my time is... Yes, go right ahead.
Is street preaching... who normally does, of the denominations on the island, do all of them do street preaching, or is that just Churches of Christ that do street preaching? Right,
that's a very good question. If I begin a street meeting tonight in my community, I bet you the denomination is going to actually try to do the same. So that's normally how it works sometimes. So normally we begin the gospel meetings, because that's the way we normally reach out to a lot of folks, all right, in the community. So we normally go out there and do street meetings. You don't find the Catholics do that. No, they don't do that. It's just the Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, they're the ones who do that. But the majority of times, it's actually the Church of Christ. So the majority of times, if you hear a gospel meeting, it's the Church of Christ. And that's what we normally do. All right, thank you very much. I do appreciate all your questions. I do appreciate all what you have asked me. And as I said, I look forward to continuously working with the Church of Christ here in Midway. And we look forward to your continuous support. And we pray God that if a group is coming from Midway, that some of you will be willing to visit us in Dominica and go out there and have a wonderful time meeting the people in Dominica and telling them about the Lord. And I'm sure that you will indeed enjoy our country. Thank you so much for having me here this
morning.
Thank
you.
God bless
you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. That clock said it's time to begin. It's a great day. Phones are ringing. Everything. Everything is working. This is July the 31st. Tomorrow is a new month. We're blessed. We're blessed to be here this morning. We're blessed to be in a country that allows us to worship as we do. The announcement for this morning, all of you are aware that Kelly George and his wife Wendy have been here for a couple of weeks. They've been at League City and now they're at Midway. Kelly gave an excellent presentation during Bible class this morning just about the country of, I can never say that word, Dominica, I think it is, about that country and about the church there and how he's maintaining the work there. And so we're going to hear from him this morning with the gospel message. And along with that, just as a friendly help, we have a box in the back, a little wooden box. And to give them some spending money, some cash, if you have a few dollars you'd like to drop in that box, it would give them something to take home with them to help whatever cost of travel. And I think he's going to stop in Miami and visit with his father. So if you have a little extra cash, put it in that box. It's just a thank you for what the work you do there. And today is our Fellowship Sunday. We will have a meal after the services out in the other area of the building. We invite everybody to stay and to enjoy the fellowship and the food. And then this next Wednesday, there are 13 of our young people and some adults are going to Camp Awesome. This is a big number improvement from last year, and so we're having on the note it says 14 children and 4 adults. That's a big work from here, and we're so happy that that's happening. Kay Zulch has done a lot of work on our church directory. Give her a hug and say thank you, Kay, because it's a big job, and she enjoys doing it, but still it takes time and effort. Let us pray as we begin our service. Our Father, we pray that you will be with us this morning as we assemble here to worship you. We pray that you will bless our Kelly George as he presents the message of the hour. Bless those who participate in the service, that we will all be able to put our hearts and our minds away from the worldly things that we meet every day and put our hearts and to worship you and to being so grateful and thankful for what Christ did for us and how God made this wonderful world. Help us to worship you in a way that will give us strength and help us to be better and stronger in our service to you. These things we ask in your name.
Our song shall rise. Been here this morning. We will get to hear a little bit more of the young man that's been up here during class and told us about the work in Dominica. And anyway, just to, for those who weren't here, just to introduce him, Kel and Wendy George are our supported missionaries in the island of Dominica. For those of you who don't know where Dominica is, the island chain of the Leeward Islands and the Windward Islands down towards the end, down by Barbados and Guadeloupe, if you've heard of those, it's kind of right there. It's known as the Nature Island. For those if you want to kind of tie it in a little more, that's where scenes in Jurassic Park and Pirates of the Caribbean. If you remember Pirates of the Caribbean, where Johnny, whatever his name is on that giant wheel going through the jungle, that was filmed in Dominica. Dominica is a small island, about 32 miles by 9 miles wide, and there's not a flat spot on it. And but it is a beautiful island. Some areas of it are really remote up in the mountains. There are areas there that people actually don't even go down into the more incorporated areas. In fact, most of the filming was done in the mountainous interior, where hardly anybody goes. And basically, I joke about this, but that's where the filming was done, and some missionaries will go up there. So there are people there that the only time they see white people, they're either pirates or preachers. So, but it's a beautiful island. The people of the island are beautiful. And as you get to hear a little bit from Kel and as he shares a word with us this morning, you'll come to love him too. So let me read a little bit of the scripture that he's going to be going through this morning in John 6, 16 through 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the Sea of Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus now came come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at land to which where they were going. And I'll introduce Kel George.
Good
Good morning. Thank you very much, Brother Jackie, for those kind words on my behalf. I am indeed honored to be here in Midway, Church of Christ, to present a message to you. I want to first of all say how grateful I am for Brother Jackie and his wife hosting me in their homes, a wonderful family. My wife and I are indeed grateful for all the hospitality that they have bestowed upon us throughout the time here in Texas. All those of you that have showed kindness and love towards us, we really appreciate it, and words can't express how grateful that we are for being here and for you all taking such wonderful care of us. Food has been great. You can spoil a preacher. So many food. So, yeah, you know, food is absolutely outstanding. Great, great, great food. And by the way, it's lots of food as well. And so we were indeed grateful for that. I also want to say thank you to the preacher here, Brother Russell. Fine, wonderful preacher, wonderful man, has been such an encouragement to me. I listen to him every Wednesday night on his Bible class that he normally teaches every Wednesday evening. So I normally write on with you guys, or with Brother Russell, and anyone that is doing Bible school on Wednesday night, Bible class rather, on Wednesday night, I normally follow with you. And this morning I was also happy to see a young lady that I remember that visited us in Dominica some time ago. That's Jessica. I'm so happy to see her here this morning with us. And all those of you that have been to Dominica, feel free to come back to our lovely country again whenever you get the opportunity, whether it's by the cruise. Just let us know. We would be happy to show you around. I would be happy as well to get one of the best tour operators to take you around. So if you ever feel like coming to Dominica on the cruise, the Carnival Cruise Line, any one of the cruise lines that you feel like coming into Dominica on, feel free. It would be delightful to have you go around in our lovely country by the cruise. And so this morning I'm going to present a message to you. I was told to be slow back home, you know. We preach fast. I can speak very fast, but I need to take my time. I need to recognize that I'm not back home. And so this morning I want to ensure that every individual in the audience are able to understand the word of God. This morning I want to bring you a lesson. And due to the fact of many of you are aware of the great storm that has occurred in my country. And so I want to present a message to you this morning, how the goodness of the Lord endures in a storm. And so I want to present a different storm to you this morning. And I want you to know that many of us in lives, we are faced with storms. Whether it be a financial storm, whether it be a family storm, whether it be a sickness, whatever the situation is, we all go through storms in life. I've learned as a young man that you can, in life, face these storms. At present, many of us are either going through a storm, or we are either getting out of a storm, or we are about to face a storm. And I need you to understand that in every situation, God is always there. Never quit, never give up. He's always there to take you through whatever you are going through. And so in the book of John, he tells us about a storm. In all four of the Gospels, tells us about storms. But this particular area in John, chapter 6, verse 16 to 21, is where I would love to divulge your attention to this morning as I present to you this lesson. I want us to know that after Jesus did what he did, he went up into a mountain and he sat there while his disciples was on the sea. And his disciples, being on the sea, was about to face a storm. And in September 2017, we all, back in my country, we were just sitting, relaxing. There are those that were making preparation, but we thought within ourselves that the storm will not cause such devastation. My wife, for example, sat home during that time and was just saying, the storm is coming, but it won't do much damage. So I got to be prepared for school. So she's making all preparation for school, not knowing that the storm is going to be really devastated. And so when that storm came, she was surprised. And so Jesus, in that particular passage of scripture, he's there in the mountain, and his disciples are facing the storm. And the Bible tells us that while they are there facing that hard, tough time in their life, Jesus, he knows everything in life. And I want us to know that there are basically three kinds of storms. There are the storms that are caused by ourselves in life. And these storms, when we normally cause them by ourselves, it is extremely difficult. These storms that we caused by ourselves in life, they can be hard to actually get out of. The storms caused by ourselves. I remember many times in growing up, my mom or my grandmother would say, do not venture, or do not do this or that. But we thought we knew better. And we always want to experience, or we always feel that we can experience, or we always feel that we know better than the older folks. And so when mom or dad or grandma would say, do not do this to you, we sometimes don't listen. And we cause our own storms in life. And when we cause those storms, we sometimes turn and ask ourselves questions. Some of us, it may be too late. Some of us, it may be really difficult to get out of those storms, those that are caused by ourselves. I want us to know that there are two individuals I would just like to share with you from the Bible that caused their own storms. Many of us know the story of Samson. You see, Samson thought within himself that he can handle it. I'll do my own thing, Mom. You don't have to worry. I'll take care of it. His mother said to him, Samson, the Lord said, do not venture. Do not go there. What are you talking about, Mom? It's all right. I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. It's okay. But guess what? He got a haircut from the wrong barbershop. Because he did not listen. He caused his own storm in life. And then he recognized his mistake. He recognized what he has put himself into. We all know the story. It was a little too late for him. He created his own storm. Not just Samson, but there's a man that God asked to do me a favor. I want you to go to a nation known as Nineveh and tell these people to repent. Jonah said, well, Lord, why are you sending me there? I'll do my own thing. I'll go somewhere else. And so he decided to hop a ship and go to another area, which is called Tarshish. But he failed to recognize that wherever you are or whatever you go through, God knows. His eyes is always open. He's never asleep. That's the beauty. So while some of us are asleep, my father, your father, never goes to sleep. And so he said to this man, I want you to go that direction. But guess what? I know better than you, God. I'll go elsewhere. I'll do my own thing. And he caused his own storm. And so sometimes in life, we don't want to listen. We don't want to hear anybody else. We want to do our own thing. We feel within ourselves that we are able to handle it. And we go and we create our own storms. And these storms, as I said, can be really difficult. But in the book of John, while Jesus was out there on the mountains and his disciples was going through that storm that they were going through, they were asking, they were wondering within themselves, how are we going to get out of it? But while you are going through a storm, God always knows the way out for each and every one of us. And guess what? He came walking on what was actually causing them great trouble. He's able to take anything that you are going through and make it into nothing. That's how powerful he is. And not just the storm that are caused by ourselves, but there's another storm that I want to really make you know of. That's the storm that are caused by others. You see, in life, we've got friends. We've got family members. We've got members of the Lord's body. And do you know that they can cause storms in our lives? Yes, they do. They can cause storms in our lives. And so we all, when they cause storms in our lives, we feel like giving up. And sometimes we even feel like having nothing to do with these individuals again. But we as individuals, we as members of the Lord's body, we need to know better. And we need to understand that no matter what storm you caused in my life, I will still love you. Just as the Lord loves all of us. Just as he cares for each and every one of us. I will still care for you. And so I want us to understand that when others cause storms in our lives, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, all the way down to verse 26, that the Apostle Paul, he says, three times was I beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. But the part that touched me the most is that he said in this particular passage, he says, perils of my own countrymen. He says, perils of false brethren. You see, Paul was going through storms of his own countrymen. Can you believe that you are relying on somebody and you're feeling, well, I have confidence in that person, and that individual can cause a storm in your life? And when they do that, we back home, we normally say, I brush you aside. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. You have done so much to my heart. You have done so much to my life. You have caused my life to just go in a way that I would never imagine. And we feel hurt when others cause storms in our lives. But I need you to understand, when they do that, you don't give up.
Don't give up, brother.
Don't give up, brother. I can't give up. I need you to understand that when they do that, you don't give up on them. You don't just turn your back on them. You still love them. You still let them know that you appreciate them. Because if you turn them away, you can cause that individual to go away from the Lord. And so you, when others cause storm in your life, you know within yourself that you should never give up on them. Don't give up on them. Don't turn your back on them. Still show them that you care. The Bible tells us in Corinth that we ought not to give up on folks. We ought not to forget about them. We ought to show them how much we care for them. And the Bible also tells us in Matthew that we ought to love them. We have to show them that we love them. In the storm in Dominica, you know that there are times that when help would come to various communities, there are those that would try to get more than others. Not because they need more, but it's just because they feel that they want more than others. And so they go ahead and they take more than others. And they create problems for others. Storms in others' lives. And we always say to them, still stretch forth your hands. Still love them. Still care for them. Because the Lord loves every individual.
Amen.
And so when others cause you storms, still care for them. Still show them that you love them. And not only storms that are caused by others, but there's a natural storm that we all know. The storm that is caused by our Lord. The storm that He allows in our lives. And sometimes the one that He allows in our lives, we don't like it. But it is there to teach us a lesson. No wonder the Hebrew writer tells us, wherefore, seeing we are compassed, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 following, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about this greater cloud of witness, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He says, what? Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so don't look at others. Don't look at people that you cannot rely on. Look at the Lord. And He will carry you through. He will cause you to go through storms. But that storm is to help you. And Job, rather, went through a storm in his life. Job felt within himself that it was all over. Job felt within himself that I just feel like, what is going on? What has happened? But that was to really let Job know that God cares. That God is always on his side. And God would have taken him through. The Apostle Paul, in his tough time at Rome, he said, I went to the master three times, begging him, asking him to relieve me from this infirmity. Guess what the Lord said to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. And so when you are going through the storm that you don't know whether you caused it, whether it was caused by others, and you're just going through a storm in your life, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, I had enough of this. That's the time that you need to be grounded in the Lord. That's the time that you need to have confidence that He is able to take you through. You know, sometimes when we go through those storms, you know, folks or members of the church will tell us, say a prayer or read a scripture, and then we like, I mean, I'm going through a tough time, and now you're telling me to read a passage. Now you're telling me to read a scripture. I mean, would that help? Yes, it helps. It helps. It really helps. And so we need to have confidence in God is able to take us through. And so in this particular passage here in John, the disciples needed to know that God is able, even in the storm. And I need us to understand that God is able, even in the storm. I may not have told you, but my life in the storm of Hurricane Maria, while my wife and I was just crouched down in a basement, just the two of us could fit in that basement underneath the step leading to the upstairs of our home. Just the two of us could fit in there. No room for nothing else. And we were crouched down in that room, praying that the storm would pass. And my wife was just hearing everything around us just crashing down. Here's what she said. She said, babes, when we go upstairs, everything would be crushed. We are about to begin a new life. And she said, all we have to do is pray that we get help to begin a new life. And we are there, and water, she's getting wet, and I'm getting wet. And so about 5 o'clock in the morning, when the storm eased up just a little, she said, just run upstairs and get a blanket. It may be wet, but still bring it. Still, just so that we can get some warmth. And guess what? Yours truly opened the door slowly and ran upstairs. And when I got to the upper floor of the house, the roof of the house was still standing. The blanket in the house was still dry. Just a little water wet the furnitures. Thank be to God that He was still on our side. We were those in my area that got, well, we got a lot of damage, but just the least of the damage compared to others, because God was with us in the storm. And so I want us to know that whenever we're going through, sometimes we feel like He's not there, but that's the time He's there. And that's the time we need not to give up, because He will come walking on whatever we're going through. The disciples needed to understand that. And so today I want us to understand, don't give up. Don't quit in whatever you're going through. I always say to my wife, whatever we're going through, we just have to keep going on. We will make it. We will succeed, because God is on our side. And so today, Midway, what I want us to understand is whether a storm you caused, whether a storm caused by others, or whether a storm God allowed in your life, don't quit. Stay with the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
We'd like to take a moment to offer an invitation. So if you would like to put on Christ as your Savior and come and be baptized, we ask that you come up and join us as we stand and sing. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? Please be seated.
Thank you. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we know that the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And every week we come together to take the Lord's Supper and to remember the body and the blood of Jesus and to remember what He did for us on the cross. And as we read those accounts of Jesus going to the cross, we recognize that He gave up His will. Father, let this cup pass from Me, but not My will be done, but Yours. We know that He gave up His comfort. He went through the pain and the agony of the beatings and the torture and the crown of thorns on His head and the crucifixion for us. And we know that He gave up His life. He didn't kick against the guards. He willingly gave up His life for you and for me so that we could be forgiven of sin and have eternal life. From Daily Encounter, there's a story from Chaplain Robinson about his father. In the 1940s, when people were coming back from war, the highways were full of soldiers that were going home to be reunited with their families. His father had come home to see the family, but the celebration of his arrival was quickly overshadowed by the fact that the soldier who just arrived's mother was dying. She had a kidney disease that they had to have blood for a transfusion. She wouldn't live through the night. And she had AB negative, which is very rare. No one in the family had that blood type. The hospital couldn't find that blood type. So the soldier said, I'm going to go home and clean up and come back for the inevitable goodbyes. He drove a car to his house. And on the way, there was a soldier walking by. He thought about just passing him up, but he stopped. He got in the car. He was very quiet. But he could tell that the man driving was upset. A tear was rolling down his cheek. And he asked, are you okay? And he began to talk to this stranger about his mother. And as he revealed the story, the soldier looked at him and opened up his palm with his dog tags and said, I'm AB negative. Turn the car around and go back to the hospital. They got back to the hospital and his mother lived 47 more years. It was a perfect match. And as we turn and face and look at the cross, we need to remember we have a perfect match. Jesus provided the perfect sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And in chapter 9 and 10, it reveals that Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The perfect match. And then we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, this is the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So this morning, as we think about Jesus instituting the supper, with the Passover in the background, which was to remind them of God's deliverance from Egypt, He institutes the Lord's Supper and says, take this bread and remember My body, and take this cup and remember the blood of the new covenant. We look at the deliverance that we have from sin through that perfect sacrifice of Jesus. If you would pray with me. Father, as we pause this morning to honor what Jesus established, we pray that you will bless us as we take this bread that reminds us of the body of Jesus that was given as a sacrifice for us. We pray that you'll bless the bread and bless us as we take it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would pray with me again for the cup. Father, we thank you for the cup that represents the blood of Jesus, the new covenant in his blood. We pray that you'll bless us as we take it in memory of that blood shed for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would please stand with me. Take a card from the pew or chair in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass them out. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass them in. They'll be picked up at this time. And it says on the second verse, we are going to actually shout the word victory. Okay, second verse, shout the word victory. On Zion's glorious summit stood our numerous host, redeemed by blood. They hymned their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join.
As we close out the service, I'd like to thank the Georges for being here today. It was a fantastic lesson that Kel brought to us, and we're so appreciative to have them here and the work that they're doing in Dominica to spread God's word. We'd also like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for the contributions that you have given to the church so the work of the Lord can continue and the work. Everyone has been so generous and has been giving on a constant, regular basis. And that is good, because we know everything that we have comes from God. And each and every Sunday, that is our opportunity to give back to Him, in which we have been blessed. So say a prayer for the offering. If you have a contribution to give, there is a box in the foyer that you can give, or you can mail your contribution in as well. We'll say a prayer for the contribution and also close out this morning's worship service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Georges and the work that they are doing to spread your word in Dominica. And we thank you for being there for us. We know that if we draw closer to you, that you are the one that is in control. And we are so thankful for the many blessings that you've given each and every one of us, our abilities to earn a living, And we pray at this time that each of us can give back, not out of compulsion, not out of vanity, but give back in which you have blessed each and every one of us. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the work that continues to happen. And we pray that you look out for each and every one of us during this week as we go on to our works and our jobs and schools and to the camp that the kids are going to as well. We pray these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.